Welcome to Flames Unfiltered. Time to talk some Calgary Flames hockey talk, whether we want to or not. Host the show, Brad Brood, Kyle Lewis. Kyle, good to have you with us. 196 episodes. We're four away from 200.
Shit, really? Wow.
It's a lot. It's a lot of talking.
Yeah. I'll have to see what episode number I joined at because I can't remember now.
You know, I got to look that up. Probably 130-ish? 120? Yeah,
sounds about right. Where does time go? Flies when you're having fun, right?
It is. It's cruising by. So not a lot of positives to talk about this week. You know what? Actually, it sucks. It really sucks right now.
Yes, it does. It does. But, you know, I texted you earlier. I said we're going to try to be positive here. So
yeah, I know.
I got a couple Flames positive to talk about. But first, I'll start with a funny story as to what was going on prior to me coming on tonight. So, as most people know, I'm in a, you know, it's later where I am. It's a little bit after 10 o'clock now where I am while we're recording. So you had texted me to see if it could go on a little bit later. And I was like, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. Like it happens. God knows I've done it to you. And I was exhausted. And I was to help my girlfriend fix the cushion on her couch because she'd washed all the covers. You know how it's a challenge to wrestle them back on. So
yeah,
that took more time than anticipated. So that kind of woke me up because it's a lot of work. But if I'm being honest, what really kind of brought me back to life tonight was the show Love is Blind.
Oh, so, my God. I wasted I don't know how many hours watching season one.
So this is what's going on, okay? So this, I didn't realize this, but there are so many dudes that are addicted to this show. So I was like hiding this from everybody, like from all my friends.
It's funny because this got brought up at work in my place of work a couple days ago. It
brought up everywhere. So
I was like, you guys watch that? And I'm like, I got suckered into season one and I couldn't shut it off. And it was like, it's kind of like one of those shows. Like, I don't know if this, we'll get back to your story in a second. I watch Below Deck and I'm like, why? That's embarrassing to admit. It's embarrassing to admit.
This is all embarrassing to admit, or so I thought. So it turns out a bunch of my friends watch it willingly, you know, alongside their partners and whatnot. But then I got talking to my buddy Claude at work. So Claude does the same job I do. He's an account manager. And, you know, Claude's like that guy you want in your locker room. Like, he's just good for the room. He's funny. He's encouraging. He's you know, he's all those good qualities. So anyway, somehow I got talking to him about it and one of our inside sales guys. So, you know, Claude's in his 60s. The inside sales guy's like 21. And they're both just amped about this fucking show. And they're so excited that I'm watching it. And I'm just like, I'm mind blown that everybody loves this. So that's the whole reason
they're embarrassed and they want you to fit in with their embarrassment.
But it's like all of us now. Like every dude I've mentioned this to has been watching it and I never knew. So anyway, part of the reason I'm fired up is because tonight while we're watching it, there's this blonde chick and she's just seeding dissent, right? And trying to break this couple up. And I'm like getting visibly angry at this television show and what a saboteur and what a bitch this girl is. Anyway, it's unbelievable. It's just got me. So then I leave, I come back to my house to do the show with you. And I'm just like, oh God, I wish I could have squeezed in one more episode. I'm like, well, I'm not going to sleep tonight if I do that. So anyway, the other day I went downstairs leaving like at work, getting ready to leave the office. And I run into Claude and Claude and I always talk hockey. He's a big hockey fan. And he looks at me, he's like, did you watch last night? And I'm thinking, watch what? Like, what game is he talking about?
The Blackhawks kicked our ass. Yeah, I watched it.
He was talking about one of these fucking stupid shows. You think he was talking about a playoff game? Anyway, so I guess I owe you a thanks. Because you were late tonight, I was able to watch one more episode of Love is Blind.
Well, I apologize, but I guess if that's the gift I give, it's I felt horrible tonight because it's been a train wreck for me. It's off the rails, and you know it's not going to get any better because tomorrow I got a plumber coming to my house to do some work, so that's freaking ruins half a day, and then I'm coming out of retirement Friday and Saturday night.
You're what? What are you playing hockey?
No, I'm not playing. I'm doing color for a junior hockey game. Oh, coming on to retire.
Cool. Can you give me a link to that? Can I listen to
that? I could probably figure out a way to send a link to you. Oh, I, you God. know, it's a, Yeah, I.
Because there's no way I'd rather spend my long weekend rather than listening to your voice.
I'm sure that's right. Yeah, shut the Love Is Blind off, because we're listening to
never
North American Hockey League game that you have no no care to watch, even though we are a really good team. And yeah, but
I check it out. You also inspired this, and maybe you didn't realize it, but
look at that.
I'm drinking a Coke tonight because I love Coca-Cola.
I'm drinking a Sprite tonight.
And I was going to grab a Sprite instead. But the can has a microphone on it.
Yeah.
It says Coke Studio.
You want to know something about music too?
Like a podcast inspired Coke can. Sorry, go on.
You want to feel really old? We are going to talk Flames today. We will, I promise. You want to feel really old?
I mean, I do most days anyway, so go ahead.
Yeah, well, this will really make you feel old. 40 years ago today, Rats Out of the Cellar album was released.
1984.
40 years ago.
You know what? I talked about Rat today because honestly, I talk about Rat most days.
That's because you're friends with me.
Oh, that's a great album. Well, fortunately for us, what's my favorite song
on that album?
Probably Wanted Man or I'm Insane. But they're all good. Now I'm thinking like She Wants Money is great too. What's yours?
Probably Lack of Communication.
Oh, that's a great riff.
Followed by In Your Direction, probably.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Right where I'm
at. You can't pick a bad song on that album.
No, I might really like that out tonight.
Did you order that book, by the way, the one we talked about?
No, I haven't. Which one? The Rat one or the Bearcat one? I got both of them in my book. They're in my cart right now.
Oh man, get that cart moving. You know, all right.
You're getting me into more reading than I've ever done.
That's a huge compliment. Thank you.
I mean,
I'm glad to help.
I got my book here. That's
nice.
That's been started. Maybe I'll have to hit cash out on the Rat and the Bearcat book.
Ryan Pike's book. This is how I really found the easiest way, the best way rather, to enjoy it, is to bounce around, because the book isn't linear necessarily. It is and it isn't, and then it goes through the Flames history in terms of, you know, at the draft. But pick an era that you're thinking of that day and read about it. So you can read about all the terrible picks in the 90s or the early 2000s, or talk about the glory days of the 80s or the late round gems in the 2010s. But don't be afraid to bounce around. If something's not clicking with you on that given night, you know, switch to a different era of the Flames. Yeah. And you'll find it much more enjoyable that way. But again, you know, great book, incredibly well researched on Ryan Parks, Mike Pike's part.
What's this Finding Murph book you sent me today? I'm like, holy shit, Kyle's got me reading all the time. I wouldn't be able to prepare for the podcast. I got to read.
Well, my boss, Charlie, had mentioned, I think it was him that first mentioned Finding Murph to me a while ago. So it was Joe Murphy, first round pick of the Detroit Red Wings in 86. First overall, I should say.
86.
Yeah. So Joe Murphy had a really good NHL career, won a cup with the Oilers in 1990. Eventually, I believe, retired as a member of the Washington Capitals after 2000-2001 season, I think. Anyway, he is homeless in his hometown of Kenora, Ontario, basically living in the wilderness. And the book is about his life and his discovery. By Trevor Kidd and Rick Westhead, who's an investigative reporter here. You know, we've talked about Rick on here before in terms of his role in uncovering the World Junior scandal. It's a fascinating read. Obviously, it talks about, you know, head injuries and concussion, you know, all the trauma that's been well documented at this point. So, but I picked the book up for like $8 Canadian on Amazon. So I'm like, there's no way I'm not going to buy that. So I just started it, and it's obviously it's a very somber read, but very interesting as well.
I'm gonna have to order that one too. I got a stack now. I got a stack of stuff.
Oh man. Books are like CDs too, and like other physical media. They're just fun to own.
You want to know what's funny about CDs? I got a buddy that plays in a band. They actually do our intro music, right? Intro and outro music. I was talking to him today because I was down at his store, and he said to me, I said, "You got any new music coming? I need some new music for the intro and the outro." Because they only have 3 songs right now. He's like, "Oh, June 1st, 10 song albums coming out."
Oh, I said, "Oh, give me a link for that. I'm gonna order the shit out of that." Oh, I said, no, I want a signed copy, and I'll buy it. I want it signed.
Oh yeah, I'll get you one. And I said, what are you guys doing? And he's like, we're doing CDs and we're doing vinyl.
Oh, nice. Good for them.
Really? And I said, you know, I would like one of each, but I said, I'll get one of each for you too. But I said, man, I said, I don't have anything to play the vinyl on. And yeah. I was standing there for a second. I'm like, shit, I only got one thing to play the CD on anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. You can't even play them in your vehicles anymore.
No, that's crazy.
That's cool. So another local, we'll get to the flame stuff here in a second, but
we promised 10 minutes in.
See, I told you we're going to make this positive. I didn't say it was going to be positive flames things. So the Monoxides, who are a local bunch here from Moncton, toured throughout the 90s, had a couple of really good albums, toured with Motley Crue and Cheap Trick and, you know, a lot of bands that they grew up idolizing. They re-released their first album, like limited edition, and they actually got my brother to write like the liner notes.
Really?
Like in terms of like, you know, the write-up about the band and their history, because he kind of came up with them.
Send me a link to them. I want to listen.
Yeah, they're a great band. They actually released some new stuff last year. Like, great bunch of guys too. I know them all, you know, individually as well, and just great dudes. Great dudes. So, how do you want to go about this train wreck of a season? Because that's certainly what it's become in the last couple of weeks.
Let's not talk about the whole season because people are. We don't have time.
Well, okay. Well, let's jump right into some stuff that
okay.
You know, I think is important to point out.
Fire away on the first topic, and I'll give you my 2 cents.
Okay, so Yermo signed his entry level deal with the Flames, and is now
$850,000.
Yep.
He is what? He's one of the pieces of the Elias Lindholm trade.
Yes.
So
kind of the forgotten piece because Hunter Bristovich has been so incredible this season.
Yep.
And Kuzmenko obviously was the big NHL piece, and the first round pick's always a hot topic.
I think we're gonna like this trade 5 years from now.
I love this trade already, especially considering Lindholm's performance in Vancouver.
Well, I am going to love this trade as soon as they're putting us in the win column. Because there is no
guarantee. Yeah, well.
But I'm not trying to be negative.
No. No. I know negative Brad. You're not there yet. Don't worry, though, but we'll get you there.
Yeah, you get me right before I get off the show, so I'm crabby.
Yeah. Yeah, so he signed, but now is on a deal with the Wranglers for the remainder of the season. So,
which will be nice.
He should be debuting with them. I don't think it's going to be tonight because he had to come from Finland. But I mean, hey, they got him signed. He's jumping right away. So add him to the logjam of defensemen in our system.
Yeah.
But that's really cool.
Defense. Let's talk about the defense because this is the most negative thing I will talk about tonight.
Okay, we'll get over with then.
They suck.
Okay, all right, we got the negative out of the way, moving on. Right,
but now I need to justify why I say they suck.
Do you? Because we're pretty well aware of it.
Well, okay, I don't want to be one of those guys that says, oh, this player sucks just because I think he sucks. I'm going to tell you why I justify the fact that I believe he sucks, right? Because you got to have a little bit of, you can't just say someone sucks, right?
But you can, but it just lessens your credibility.
Here's the deal. I understand when you lose Zadorov, Hanifin, and Tanev, which are three top six defensemen for us. Like, shit's not going to go that great. It's not.
No, and losing that many essentially at once is especially challenging.
And then when you flip the thing and you'll get Oliver Shillington, who's back after a long-term leave, so you know you kind of got to cut him a little slack. He's been fine. Although the other night when he ran into the net last night, I thought, holy crap, I've not seen that in a long time. But it was funny. I'm glad he didn't get hurt. But no, I like his play for the most part. Mm-hmm. I'm not like overly like excited about it, but I also understand the circumstances and the progression that we're probably gonna see. And so as a whole, I'm happy with him.
Right.
Mackenzie Weegar, for the most part, I'm happy with him. I offensively for sure. How can you not be, right? Defensively,
17 goals and 41 points now.
He's had a few tough moments defensively lately. I did not see that very much earlier in the year. But the guy that I'm really, really, really upset about right now, and I know, I don't know if he's playing Mr. Pouty. Yeah. And I don't know if he's playing Mr. Pouty because he lost his buddy Tanev, who he's played with for four straight years, or if he's being elevated to a point now where it's maybe a little out of his, gosh, it's hard to say that because I think Rasmus Anderson is a wonderful defenseman, but I almost feel like he's trying to do too much. Yeah. And his pinches are god awful right now. And last night, I thought his work ethic was in his heart and his give a shit meter was extremely low last night. And it was a bad look. It was a really bad look last night.
Yeah, well, that led, and I was actually one of the guys that jumped on this on Twitter or X. It kind of makes you wonder what the future looks like for a guy like that. He's got a very friendly contract and still is a very attractive commodity either with the Flames or elsewhere, but with so many defensemen coming up through their system, and a lot of them we have no idea what they're going to be yet. But
I'm not saying that I want him to have a home here.
I do too, but I mean, I'm starting to wonder if we're looking at the fresh start conversation for a guy like him, right?
But I don't think he needs a fresh start because he's been real good with us. I'm just worried about, is he going to be the guy that says, I'm not going through this rebuild bullshit? Because I didn't like his attitude last night, and I'm not going to judge it off of one game. Like I'm, he deserves a little more slack than that.
Yeah,
but I didn't like it because, like, right now, I feel like he's got to be one of the guys that stands up. And I don't know. And then we got Miramanov, right? Who is playing way more minutes than he ever dreamt of. I believe when he came to Calgary, he had 27 games played, and he's up playing first line with Uyghur. He's been fine. He's had a couple moments. I had to laugh last night. Pat Steinberg described one of his plays as he looked like his controller got disconnected.
Yeah, that's a kind of a common line now. It always makes me crack up too. yeah, but I mean, yeah, he kind of got his role got elevated probably too quickly, but kind of out of necessity based on how many bodies they moved out, right? So,
And then, you know, we'll just touch on the rest of them here. Braden Paul, why do I say that name wrong? Kind of pisses me off. I like what he's done this year. I think he's struggled as of late, but boy, oh boy, has he been, I think, a bright spot for us. And I think he's a guy that can be a bottom pairing guy for us for some time here. I really do think.
I agree. But I mean, it's so hard to, I mean, yeah, he's been the brightest of all the young bunch, if you want to call them that. But not even necessarily a young bunch because Hanley's a little bit older too. But I mean, they've done so well with the waiver wire this year. And
so what's your thoughts on Hanley and Holchuk?
Holchuk, I have all kinds of time for because I think he's the kind of player we're going to need going forward in terms of being a physical defenseman. But he's going to be probably a bottom pairing guy as well. Like him, Hall could form a good pairing there. Hanley, great teammate. And a fairly steady player, but I don't. One of those guys is going to get pushed aside over the course of the summer, I suspect, based on the guys coming up and other possible acquisitions, because Conroy has cap space and won't be afraid to use it. Although we all hope he does so responsibly, which we have reason to believe he will, because he has done so to this point. It's going to be interesting. The D is going through an immense transition period right now with the wealth of experience out the door. Yeah, well, of course they are. Which kind of explains, or could explain, maybe the hesitance to really run with Dustin Wolf, because you and I have talked about some concerns about him getting shelled, and he could very well get shelled behind this D if they just, you know, ran him for the rest of the season. So I think going to be a little bit careful with him.
So do you think in the offseason we have to target a defenseman to help here? I mean, we can't run in with these guys next year, can we?
Well, I think so, but we're going to have to move a couple bodies out. Some of these depth pieces are going to have to go because so many guys are moving up through the ranks, whether it be the Wranglers to the Flames or from the ECHL or junior leagues or overseas like Irmo to the Wranglers, that, you know, there's only so many spaces.
Well, I mean, I think Solovyov has a chance to make this roster next year.
Yep, he does for sure.
I don't know. But I still think you need to have another one more veteran guy here to help out. You know, like, I think it's okay to have your bottom pairing guys be younger, more inexperienced guys, but I wouldn't mind having I mean, I think Shillington is probably playing over his head right now, minute wise, and Miramanov, we know he is. I mean, I believe he had 25 minutes or 23 minutes against Chicago, and
it was a lot.
He scares the hell out of me. I love his offensive upside, but boy, oh boy, oh boy, does he sometimes make some.
Yeah,
I think he forgets he's on defense sometimes, you know, so that scares me a little bit.
Yep, and as it should. But again, it's that transition period. So you want to try to be, and this is what I was saying about positives. I mean, we're trying to focus on the fact, and it's really hard to do because the team ultimately is going to have probably ideally, but unlikely, a top 10 pick. I say unlikely, but there's a good chance in the draft. But they have so many picks, and they've been acquiring prospects. We talked about Brstovich finishing the season at 92 points. Like, there's so many things going on that it's really hard to be super upset about this because we know we're doing the right things. They're just painful.
I know. And I thought about it for a future episode here in the coming weeks. We need to kind of come up with a friggin' manual to survive we're going to be this show's going to be a therapy session. I mean, it is.
We're talking about, you know, bands we love and shows we love.
Kyle, it's not going to be easy. I am worried about how I'm going to mentally handle a shittiness. I mean, last night really.
It was very deflating. It was very, very deflating.
After the Buffalo game, I was just like, oh boy, this is going to get
ugly. I watched a good chunk of the Flames game, but I was between that, playing some Zelda, and watching the Brutus the Barber Beefcake episode of Dark Side of the Ring. Those two latter things took far more of my attention than the Flames game because it became very clear very quickly how that game was going to go. It's really frustrating. But again, this beats the hell out of, you know, limping into the playoffs. The short term, because you always want to make the playoffs. And anybody who says otherwise is either a shitty fan or they're full of shit. Like, you want to get there, but narrowly missing all the time or acquiring too many older players, bad contracts, you know, giving away prospects, draft picks. I mean, we're still in a pretty enviable position. And I do think this can be turned around relatively quick if the right moves are made. Sharon Govich has been a great find. Huberto, which has been talked about at length, you know, since the turn of the calendar to the new year, he would have been on pace for like prorated a 68 point season, which is far more in line with what we'd expect from him. So hopefully that continues in the next season.
His give a shit meter has been awful the last two games.
But everybody's ass. Kadri was terrible last night too, I felt.
Yeah, but I mean, Kadri was god awful for half of the year last year because he was pouting. I know we're not making the playoffs and I get it, we're in a rebuild, but our veterans now though need to stand up and be like, yeah, but we're still gonna finish this season as good as we can so we can progress for the future, right?
Yeah, but that's a lot easier said than done. These last few games is where the team's made it abundantly clear, almost mathematically clear, they're not going to the playoffs.
We know that.
But now they know it. There's no doubt anymore.
I know, but if they're going to have this rebuild go in a little bit of a fast-forward method, like, we can't just teach these young guys that it's okay to roll over when you're out of the playoffs, right?
Oh, but I think this will turn around relatively soon, though, too. This is just—it's just settled in. Like the last two games, they haven't played well. They're going to bounce back and be better. And the main thing right now is to get to the draft and, you know, see what the summer brings and go from there. And maybe some of these guys aren't going to be here now. Granted, again, guys like Kadri have massive contracts that are unlikely to be moved. But if they're that hell bent on not being a part of this, which isn't to say they are, they aren't. But if that's the case, they'll find a way to move on.
So Andrew Mangiapane, what do we do with him?
Still a very effective player. He's having a lot of bad puck luck this year, but test the market for him. See what's out there.
We couldn't get a bag of pucks right now. $5 million.
Only a year left, though.
Would you take him? Okay, let me say it. Let's say you were a Columbus fan right now, because I know you're a hidden Columbus guy. Would you be happy if Mangiapane was acquired, or would you be like, what the fuck are we doing?
I don't think I'd be unhappy, again, because it's 1 year. If it was 3 years left, I'd be like, what the fuck are we doing? But the guy's still, he drives play in the right direction. He's still a very effective forechecker, and he can score. He's just had awful luck. So Would I jump up and down? No. But if you move on from that player and get, you know, B-level prospect for him, a late round pick, maybe. I don't think it's unthinkable that he gets moved.
Oh, I'm not trying to be like, I'm done with him, but like, besides the 1 year, like, he's done nothing.
No, his prior year was good too, prior to that year. I don't know. I think what he get paid relative to how he performs is a little bit much, but doesn't mean he's still not a very useful player. He's not just coasting on that back line. He contributes to that line. Like, he's a decent hockey player. So he'll rebound either, you know, as a 2020 guy in Calgary or somewhere else, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be somewhere else. Yeah, I do think he's a possible trade ship, but I think you're going to get like a great return. Of course not. Of course not. So we're going to keep rolling with the positives because it's hard to do.
Okay. Would you not rather have Coronado on that line with Coleman and Backlund right now than watching Mangiapane fall down every shift?
Well, I sure as hell don't want Coronado on the fourth line where he is.
So. That's my point. Like, I hate to say this. Like, I'm probably the guy that's least pushing for the young guys, and you're probably one of the guys on the scale of like really pushing for the young guys, and I am. But now I'm sitting here going, okay, I got a young guy that I need to see how Matthew Coronado is going to progress here. And I got Andrew Mangiapane filling a hole where I could watch Coronado at least get quality ice time and quality looks. Instead, I got Coronado playing with Rooney and freaking AJ Greer.
Yeah, it's not ideal at all.
It's a tough spot for Coronado to be successful, right?
It is, especially when the brightest spots on this team, bar none, are the performances of guys like Pospisil and Conazari. Coronado could be one of those guys, maybe not quite as effective, you know, in his first full year in the league. But we're not going to see. I said this before. I was coming back to the same thing when he scored that goal against the Penguins, his first NHL goal. Yeah. That's the kind of shit that he does well, but he can't do that stuff. You don't put a position to do it. Right?
Yeah.
So
I don't. I get frustrated with that. I read in the Calgary Herald this week that AJ Greer would love to extend. He loves Calgary. He wants to extend with the Flames. You're 6 goals, 6 assists, 51 games this year. What's your thoughts?
Differ. That's a tough one because I do like him, but I mean, I don't know if he'd go any more than league minimum for a guy like that. Maybe, you know, 900,000. Like, he's very replaceable, right?
Yeah. But he is also somewhat effective.
He is. I'd love to keep him. But I think, you know, this is a hard conversation, I think, to have with a guy that doesn't make a lot of money in the NHL. And, you know, you got to tell him, like, you know, if you want to be here, we'd love to have you. You got to fit into our pay structure. And we already got a few guys from the previous regime that are locked into big money long-term contracts. You know, the pieces of this pie are smaller. And, you know, you can go somewhere else and make an extra 100, 200 grand a year if that's what you want to do. If you want to stay here, let's find a way to make it work.
His agent's going to be like, you got 20 million in cap space next year.
Yeah, they're not going to spend on a guy like AJ Greer, right?
I couldn't agree more.
Unless AJ Greer all of a sudden is going to score you 30 goals. Like, I don't want to hear it, right?
Yeah.
It's a whole thing about knowing your role, and there's nothing wrong with his role. It's essential to win in the NHL, but yep. You know, I think that's going to be the conversation. We know, and you know, you'll get a bit more elsewhere, but if you want to fit in here, this is what we have for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, so the other thing I wanted to mention that has been talked about a little bit on X, Dennis Grebushkov. So, of noted Edmonton Oiler and New York Islander fame, now 40 years old, retired NHL defenseman. First time in at least a long time, maybe ever, the Flames have a Russian scout who scouts Russia.
Well, we got like 80 Russians now on the team.
Well, and I think that, you know, Grebushkov has some say in that, but moreover, it also opens up their options at the draft in terms of how much better they know a certain sect of players that they wouldn't otherwise be overly familiar with. So they added him to the coaching or to the scouting staff last September, I believe it was. And this is a sneaky good move that really never get talked about. Like, you talked before about how very few people talked about Huska's performance as a coach, which has come up a few times, but not much talked about. And this Grebushkov thing, barely talked about, but looking how many Russian players we have and how many good Russian players obviously there are, you know, coming up through through the minor ranks or from overseas, like this is a really, really valuable thing to have on a team that's in a position, especially like the Flames are.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you. I agree. My worry is a little bit is with the volatility of the way things are going politically in the world, if that escalates more, what's the ramifications for those players in the league?
Well, it's interesting because without getting into a huge debate about it, and I will say if you haven't watched it yet, watch The Atomic Bomb and the Cold War on Netflix. It's the most succinct, fascinating historical lesson from World War II to the present day in terms of, you know, Putin's regime, what's going on there. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
And I'm not trying to get off the topic. I'm just stating that, like...
Yeah, well, I have
some slight hesitations on drafting Russians because, honestly, I don't know if they're going to be allowed to leave. It does worry me.
Yeah, and it should, but presumably, if history repeats itself, I suspect it's going to be like a McGillney type situation for a lot of guys, like with the old USSR. They're just going to start defecting. You know,
yeah. If they're
one way or another, I mean, over time, because it's
defecting.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all plays out. But yeah, it's interesting to think about.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you about: Dan Vladar out for the season, surgery. The team says, you know, they want the proper rehabilitation period required for the full recovery to ensue that he's ready for the start of the 24-25 season. So we got Markstrom and Wolf for the rest of the road. What do you see as a future for Vladar with the Flames? And where do you think this summer? I mean, it's all speculation right now because so many different things could happen. Well, I guess really only two things are going to happen. Either Vladar gets put on waivers gets traded.
Yeah.
Or Markstrom gets traded and we see Vladar and Wolf. Or I guess they both could get traded or Vladar, you know, we'd have Wolf and somebody else. Or it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But that escalated quickly. It went from he's got an upper, or what was it? I don't even know if they even said he had an injury. He was a backup, and then all of a sudden he's out the next day.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to imagine he has much of a future in Calgary at this point, but he's got a year left. Because of the nature of, you know, being shut down for the season, I don't think you can, but you can't waive him for, you know, until he's back healthy next season. I don't think you can really until the fall. But regardless, you're going to be starting the season with him, but I think he's going to be the odd man out by November.
Well, I don't know. See, here's the deal. I don't see us having those three in camp. I think something's going to happen. I don't necessarily think Markstrom's going to be gone, but I think we could see a Vladar move before that, probably. If I had to throw money down, if I was a betting man.
It would just be a matter of getting rid of him then, because the situation is not going to be conducive to any kind of a return, which is fine. You know, you have a logjam of goaltenders. We all remember the three-headed monsters of the past, a la Ramo, Ortio, and Hiller. That type of stuff just doesn't work. So if Wolf shows well down the stretch, has a good training camp next year, then the writing will be on the wall, I think. Unless a Markstrom trade happens, which is still a distinct possibility. It's one of those things we're going to be revisiting in the summer, for sure.
And it could get... Yeah, well, we'll probably talk about it a lot this summer, and I'm interested if that was to happen, what the return would be. I think we've went back and forth on the show about that probably too many times. That'll be interesting to see how that all plays out too. But goaltending will probably be a pretty hot topic for us over the offseason.
Well, I think everything will be, because everything, there's openings at every position on the team, basically. There's cap space. There's lots of draft capital conducive to making trades. It's going to be interesting. It should be a fun summer.
They were talking today, I believe it was on Barn Burner, they were talking about the potential of us going out and getting a UFA this summer, a big player, or, you know, is Connor going to be aggressive or is he not going to be aggressive? What do you think this summer? Do you think he's going to be aggressive? Or... Does he have the balls to lay down an offer sheet?
I can't see him doing an offer sheet. just because there's so much money involved in doing that. Like, it just, I don't know who it would be. I guess it's part of my hesitance to.
Well, the guy they mentioned was Quentin Byfield.
Yeah, I'd love to have him, but I don't know. Is it really something? And I don't want to go full Kevin Lowe, Brian Burke here, because I don't think it'll ever get that toxic again. But as a fairly new GM in the league, do you really want to be the guy that, you know, you're trying to establish yourself?
And that's, or do you want to be a winner? At some point, someone's got to have the balls to do it.
Somebody will, but it's going to be a team that has a lot more to gain from it than the Flames would, I would think. I don't know that they're in a position where that would make a lot of sense for them, because there's so many other holes to fill, right?
I don't disagree.
But it's going to be interesting, though, because, I mean, Conroy is going to have everything at his disposal in terms of, like, he can do some things this summer. And, I mean, the message from ownership, you know, to try and be competitive year over year with the money they're spending on the guys that they have on long-term deals, like, we're not going to see anything like, you know, the Troy Bauer contracts or, no, you know, that kind of stuff we saw in the past, the Dougie Hamilton trade. Like, I can't see it, but he's going to try to tweak this roster to make them, you know, win now as much as he can. So might be a couple surprises in store, and maybe an opportunity is one of them.
Oh, I doubt it, but I would love to see it just because the excitement would be.
Oh, the fucking drama, man.
It's would unreal. Be amazing. All right, X Factor time. Big Daddy Kip. I am predicting Kuzmenko will come back to camp next year looking more like the guy who played for Vancouver last season. No point moving him in the offseason for peanuts. See if you can get it going again and maximize that return.
Yeah.
Where do you see this going? Where do you see Kuzmenko going? And what's your evaluation in the games we've seen thus far?
He's one of the only skillful options we have, quite frankly. I agree with this 1,000%. 1,000%.
I agree with the fact that it hurts us nothing next year to try it and see.
If we had him for the full season, our power play is 5 positions better in the league. I honest to God believe that.
Only 25th then.
But you know what? Maybe that's another 6 points in the standings, right?
I know.
But I think no matter what you do with him, Big Daddy Kip is bang on. You got to keep this guy and turn him into a tangible asset again. Because if you let him play, that's what he'll do.
So would you be ballsy to extend him?
What's he have left? 1 year?
1 year.
Probably not, because that doesn't seem to direct the game's going. Because he'd be an attractive rental at the deadline next year, right?
I think you do exactly what Big Daddy Kip is saying. That's
yeah. Right, the name like the name like Big Daddy Kip, you better fucking do what he says.
That sounds like it. That sounds like it. That was a good X Factor, I thought.
I like that. Yeah. Well, and that's the kind of stuff we got to start reaching for in terms of, you know, not just what we discuss, but we look at from other people in the fan base. Like, a lot of the hot topics are done. Playoffs aren't happening. Deadlines passed. You know what I mean? Like, we got to start thinking more to the future, because in a few weeks' time, we won't be talking about Flames on ice at all.
No.
So then what do we do, right? Then we get to talk about the teams we're each cheering for.
Yep.
You know, what we expect to see in the playoffs. And, you know, that's going to be fun for different reasons. But again, to summarize what we've talked about here today, we're doing all the right things. They're just, they really hurt.
It does. It's tough. You want some good news to leave here? Little daughter Tilly did with the t-shirts for cancer.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, that was cool. It was
really cool. Really, really cool. And I have to tell you a quick story about my daughter. And we'll let the listeners get out here. My daughter's 9. She's a huge hockey fan. She's taken it in the last 18 months to the point where she came up to me and said, "Dad, I want to play hockey." She had told me up until then that I don't want to play hockey. So I signed her for hockey this year. She's did really well in her first year. She's advancing pretty well. Last night was the start of spring 5-on-5, which is just scrimmage basically, but they have them play a level up to the level they're going to next year. So as we're driving to the hockey rink, she is nervous as can be. And I said, how are you doing? And she says, "Well, I'm thinking about something." I said, "Well, what are you thinking about?" She says, "Well, I've been thinking all day what I want to be for Halloween." And I'm like, Halloween. I said, geez. I said, that's like, you know, October. You got a long time. And I said, what do you want to be? She says, well, I should probably be a hockey player just because I started playing hockey this year and I really, really like hockey. But being a normal hockey player is kind of boring because a lot of people do that. So I want to be the guy in the suit that watches the game up from up above. I'm like, what? I'm like, you want to be a healthy scratch for Halloween? So yeah, I got a daughter that wants to be a healthy scratch for Halloween. That's pretty embarrassing.
Like somebody wants to be a backup goaltender.
Yeah, that's worse. So she's not even dressing. She doesn't even want to dress.
You know what? I kind of admire that. I kind of admire that. So
what do we got ahead? Thursday, Calgary goes to St. Louis. Probably be ugly. Saturday, they're home against the Kings, Hockey Night in Canada. And then Tuesday, the juggernaut Anaheim Ducks come to town. So if you do this on paper, we'll lose to St. Louis, beat the Kings on Saturday night in an exciting game, and then lose to Anaheim on Tuesday.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Put some money in Vegas.
In the meantime.
Ooh, what did you buy there?
I didn't buy it. It's on eBay. Daniel Tkachuk, game-worn jersey.
How much is that rolling?
About $450 Canadian.
So you would have asked me what number was he, I wouldn't have been able to say number 10.
Well, it's not. Yeah, well, and I didn't remember either, but it's cool because it has a 2000 patch on it, but also he was really, really, really good until he had a concussion.
Really?
Yeah. Like if you look up his stats, he was for a very dark period in Flames history. He was a comer and then he got laid out and,
he's probably a chapter in Ryan Pike's book.
Oh, he is. Well, he's talked about. Yeah. Actually he's written some cautionary tales for other first round draft picks since then in terms of the pressure and expectation, all that's pretty cool stuff. But anyway, your weekend predictions, I think, are spot on. I think there's going to be lots of stuff happening in the weeks ahead concerning a lot of Flames prospects and just general directional stuff in terms of how would I say that? I guess what I'm trying to say is like I'm really looking forward to the end of the season for the press conference.
Or you're looking forward to so you don't have to watch this anymore.
Well, that too. Because I'm just gonna keep playing Nintendo if they keep playing like they did against Chicago.
We've got to just do our best to have fun with it, though, right? I mean,
we did have fun. We talked about Love is Blind. You can't have more fun than that, can you?
What are we talking about next week?
More Rat.
What are you doing this week? Are you got big plans this weekend?
Well, no, and I couldn't be happier about it because I'm burnt the fuck out and I want some time off.
Well, it's good to just take a weekend. I had a weekend at home last weekend. It was just really nice. So.
Oh, man, it's the best. It's just the best.
It is. So. It is nice. This week I got junior hockey to do. So.
And I will be listening and scrutinizing your every move.
Oh, geez.
Hey, get on Amazon and get that cart, you know, check out.
I'm going to. I'll just stay home and read all weekend.
There you go. Perfect. Well, you best get at it because you want to get the stuff by Friday.
I won't get it 2 days in the U.S. It takes way longer. It used to be 2 days, right on the money. Now it's...
Well, we're going to talk... we'll talk some more music in some future episodes. We'll also talk about like our favorite hockey books. I think that'd be fun.
I saw a book in my shelf last night. Have you read Fabric of the Game?
I'm open Amazon right now.
It is a jersey book, and I know you're a jersey guy, so
I'm looking at a Daniel Tkachuk game worn and seriously considering buying it. Of course I'm a jersey guy.
Yeah. This is a good little book. It's not one of those books you like sit down and like you read it like cover to the end. It's one of those books where it's like you page through it every few nights and read a section. It talks about old jerseys, how they came to be. It's a pretty good book. Cover, beautiful book.
Oh, good. It's got that disgusting Mighty Duck Superhero jersey.
Right.
I just bought it, so thanks.
Perfect. Spend some more of your money. All right. That's my goal here.
Yeah, man.
Each other to buy books. That's what we do.
Well, we got nothing else to look forward to right now. So,
all right, we'll read away. Enjoy your weekend at home.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Enjoy your weekend as well. Enjoy calling that game. And we'll be chatting.
We're back next week, Flames fans. Have a good week.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered with Brad Berube and Kyle Lewis, your source for unfiltered Calgary Flames hockey talk. Keep it locked on flamesunfiltered.ca. Subscribe where you get all your podcasts to never miss an episode. Flames Hockey Talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.
She's just lining it up and knocking them down, feeling out that grounded pound.